From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, founded his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Repays. The text is Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. We are to give to the poor out of pity, not to be seen and applauded, much less to get influence over them, but out of pure sympathy and compassion we must give them help. We must not expect to get anything back from the poor, not even gratitude. But we should regard what we have done as a loan to the Lord. He undertakes the obligation, and if we look to Him in the matter, we must not look to the second party. What an honor the Lord bestows upon us when He condescends to borrow of us! That merchant is greatly favored who has the Lord on his books. It would seem a pity to have such a name down for a paltry pittance. Let us make it a heavy amount. The next needy man that comes this way, let us help him. As for repayment, we can hardly think of it. And yet, here is the Lord's note of hand. Blessed be His name. His promise to pay is better than gold and silver. Are we running a little short through the depression of the times? We may venture humbly to present this bill at the Bank of Faith. Has any one of our listeners been a bit of a screw to the poor? Poor soul. May the Lord forgive him.
Christ offered me.
In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, Preparing to Meet God. Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, Preparing to Meet God. In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Preparing to Meet God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Resisting the Holy Spirit, part of his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The text is taken from Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, where in verse 51 he said to the Jewish leaders, Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As Dr. Cairns has stated, this is a sin which can be committed by both the unsaved as well as by Christians. The unsaved resist the Holy Ghost in a number of ways, such as by their proud religion of externals, as well as by their rejection of Christ as personal Savior. Then the lost person frequently manifests a hardness to the preaching of the gospel, a symptom of the pride that dwells in every human heart. That sin which makes a person the enemy of God. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Resisting the Holy Spirit.
Now I want to be very forthright and very, very frank and very, very simple here. There are people, and I have no doubt there are people in our service this morning, and your ear can be attuned to many of the sounds of the world. When the world's music comes along, and I'm not singling out rough music, though it's the most hellish form of so-called entertainment in the music world that you can get. No time for it, and I believe the Bible is no time for it, but that's a different subject. I'm talking about even the things that are musically, culturally, socially, and even religiously acceptable. Your ear is attuned there, and it strikes a responsive chord in your heart. Your ear is attuned politically. You can listen to a politician. He promises you 2 cents off your tax bill. My, it strikes a responsive chord in your heart. And you're ready to vote for him. But when the gospel of the sovereign grace of the eternal God is preached, when the message that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, is preached in your hearing, my, you have an uncircumcised ear. All the flesh, all the filth of the world that has blocked up your ear and deafened you to the call of God has never been cut away. When you hear the gospel, it strikes no responsive chord at all. And then your soul. Hardness. There's one thing that concerns me about people who grew up in churches like the Free Church. It's that they get used to the gospel. They get used to the gospel. I see it in an unsee of people. They get harder and harder against the gospel. Sometimes I see it in those who profess to be saved. And they just sit like blocks of stone. And the Bible means nothing to them anymore. Something wrong there. I think it was Adoniram Judson when he came back to this country after a tour of missionary service. Was built to preach. And the place was crammed to capacity. The great missionary stood up and with tears he preached of the glories of Jesus. And the people were bitterly disappointed. The chairman of the meeting said to him afterwards, "We thought that you'd have told us some of those exciting stories of your various endeavors in Burma, terrible things that had been happening." And the old preacher said, "I know of nothing more exciting and the story of Jesus Christ." But there was a bunch of people there, and a lot of them said they were saved. And while they would have had an ear for the sensational, and I am not for one moment, and neither was the great missionary, saying there's no place to tell the stories of the mission field. Obviously there is. But when it becomes mere sensationalism and entertainment, we're in trouble. That's a sin in the church. But to get back to it, there is nothing more glorious, more exciting than Christ. But yet there was a bunch professing to be saved, though they had an ear for the sensational. They had no ear for the gospel. That's a tragedy. That's resisting the Holy Ghost. You know, such resistance is very dangerous. Because resistance draws by its very nature in fair 2 forces. When you resist God Almighty, you should never forget that by making God your enemy, you're in trouble. For God resists the proud. 1 Peter 5:5. Here we're talking about the stiff neck, the uncircumcised in heart and ears. God resists the proud. It's a very interesting word that Peter and also James in chapter 4 in the very same text uses. God resists the proud. It's a different Greek word from the one in our text. You resist the Holy Ghost. That is speaking just of that inveterate hatred. You determined to be against the Holy Ghost. But the word that Peter and James use is actually a military term. And it describes the action of a general who would be deploying his troops and all the forces at his command against an enemy and to bring down that foe. This is the word. You resist the Holy Ghost. God resists the proud. God sets in array the battle against the proud, impenitent sinner. Sets in array the battle. And I tell you, my friend, God will use every force at the availability of divine omnipotence and at the availability of divine wisdom. God will use every force. Crush that prayer. He'd either do it to bring you ultimately by irresistible grace on your knees in repentance, or he'll bring that soul that has resisted down to the place called hell. I want to tell you, whatever rebellion there is in hell, there's plenty. Pride will be crushed. It's a dangerous thing to be resisting the Holy Ghost. There is, of course, one other way that sinners resist the Holy Ghost, and it's very clear here. The apostates do this again and again. And that is by seeking to oppose the spread of the gospel. The Jewish leaders were certainly desperately afraid of the spread of the gospel. Some of these last Wednesday evenings I have been pointing out how the apostates, the ecumenists, the preachers of another gospel, the rationalists, the liberals, have opposed the preaching of the gospel of Christ. I want to tell you there's a great comfort for God's people here. When people try to stop the preaching of the gospel, when they try to hinder the spread of the gospel, as for instance, when the World Council of Churches about 10 years ago declared a moratorium on foreign missions. I don't know if you ever knew that. This is what the ecumenical movement's all about, you know. They're nothing to do with Christian unity. The World Council of Churches is not a Christian organization. Now, there are some Christians in it. The World Council of Churches is 100% satanic in its motivation. Now that's a big statement. And you'll see how true it is when I tell you, I was up there, so I saw the World Council of Churches in Vancouver at their world meeting. When they had North American Indian tribes bring in their idols, and when they had incantations to those idols, you will know that that is not of God but of the devil. The World Council of Churches, with that kind of motivation, therefore declared a moratorium on missions. Let us realize that the heathen religions will lead people to God. That's their thinking. Don't go in to change their views. Don't go in with the gospel.
Let's declare a moratorium of missions. Well, I'm glad to say that their moratorium never came about. I don't care how many WCC missionaries are kept from the field. They can keep every one of them out of the field as far as I'm concerned. The more the merrier that are kept at home. But the gospel of Jesus Christ will not be stopped by some bunch of religious bureaucrats sitting down to say, here we draw the line and there's going to be no more mission work. Why? Because they're not resisting a bunch of fundamentalists or Bible believers or Protestants or Calvinists or Presbyterians or Baptists or whatever. They are resisting the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit will never be overcome in the spread of the gospel by any bunch of apostates. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. He said to the church in Philadelphia, not USA, but Asia Minor, he said to it that I am he who opens the door and no man can close it. I like that. Of course, he also says, I am he who closes the door and no man can open it. What a joy it is to realize that when sinners, apostates, oppose the spread of the gospel, they are losing because they're resisting the Holy Ghost. Very quickly, let me say that sometimes even Christians can be guilty of this sin. You look at the circumstances here and you'll find a description of some things that Christians can do. For instance, a Christian is found to be resisting the Holy Ghost when his profession and his practice do not coincide. This was what Stephen was upbraiding the Jews about, their hypocrisy. They profess one thing and they do another thing. Hypocrisy is a great evil. It's a great wickedness in the Christian. You stop to think of this. What a Christian professes usually reflects what he knows the Holy Ghost requires. Does not every Christian here profess the centrality of Jesus Christ in his life? Does not every Christian profess, yes, Jesus Christ should be all and in all? Does not every Christian profess Jesus Christ in his glory should be the supreme and central motivation of my whole life? Does not every Christian profess that this Bible is the Word of God and we ought to give time to the study of the Word of God? Does not every Christian profess that prayer is the soul's chief delight and it is the soul's great requirement to be in tune with God and to spend time with God? Yes, every Christian professes such things, but not every Christian practices those things. In other words, we are by our profession giving witness to what we know the Holy Ghost requires, but by our practice we are resisting the Holy Ghost. When your profession is one thing and your practice is another, believer, that is resisting the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.